Hey, this is your host, D. Wells, so why not you? And all I can say is, wow, wow, wow. Hey, there's nothing like having real conversation with people you like and admire about leading others, growing others, lifting others up, and carving out your own path in this world. We just have to keep it going. And one of the things I want you to ask yourself is, why not you? That's right. In this episode, I am joined by my friend, Lee West, who was recently acknowledged as the Lion of the Quarter. Now, we're both members of King's Accountability Group, and Lee was, he got this recognition, not by happenstance, but for being consistent, just in his work ethic, setting goals and achieving those goals, elevating himself, but also stepping back and being that supportive person to elevate others. Now, we're about to dive into this conversation with the Lion of the Quarter, Mr. Lee West. Y'all tune in, because this is good. All right, y'all, let's go.
Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is your boy, D. Wells, for Why Not You, and I got my man, Lee West, another King's Accountability member who got Lion of the Quarter, and we're going to be talking with him this morning. Man, what an honor, brother. What's going on, Lee?
Man, Derek, thank you for having me on Why Not You. It's great to be on this lovely platform. As you can see, I got mine right here. And, you know, that's the Team West Entertainment.
That's right.
I need to get my setup like yours. That brick wall back there looks beautiful, man. And everything. Is that a Why Not You pickleball paddle?
It is, bro.
Fire. Fire. I love it. I love it. Yeah, I gotta fix my setup. We had some technical difficulties at the beginning of the call, but we made it happen.
We did.
We made it happen, man. Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, you are welcome. Hey, man, just I know you got stuff going on, and hey, man, briefly though, man, I wanna get your thoughts on King's Accountability Group, the CAG membership. You know, just being part of a community that's one that's uplifting, that's encouraging us. Are you part of some amazing men in that in the organization? What has CAG meant to you?
So the beautiful thing about this is I like the origin stories, you know, where things begin and how they develop. And I know that group was formed. I think it was just like Men Meet, or I forget what the name was prior to it being King's Accountability Group. But I met CB and Terrell through BU, Breathe University, for people that don't know. And they invited me to one of their calls. Like one Sunday, they was like, hey, man, I think you'd like this since you are, because I was like leveling up in Breathe University and taking on leadership roles and helping encourage and inspire people. Like I was one of the hosts, so I was like diving in every week. It was like, all right, Tuesday, this is your day, you got to do this X, Y, and Z. Whoever my partner was, my co-host, or if I was a co-host, it was a beautiful thing. And then, you know, you start that accountability amongst those people.
Yeah.
And to see, I guess, as BU started to part ways with the way that they were structured, the rise of CAG like started. And I was like, oh, man, it's crazy how like the baton passed,
right?
Because we still needed. However, BU was co-ed and CAG is all men. And it's a beautiful thing because like we go from the ages of like 18 all the way through up to, I don't even know how what the oldest CAG
member is.
But he needs to come out and talk because he's like, yo, I'm the oldest in this joint. And, you know, so that way we can, I say we probably like from 18 to 60 something. I don't know. Maybe seven, maybe. I don't know. But what CAG has done for me and all of those men that have transitioned in there from BU to where we are today, it's just like never stop believing in yourself, man. And it's one thing to say it, and I tell this to people all the time, like we can go to as many seminars as we want. It's all gonna be recycled information. There's no way, there is no in between on that. You're not finna go to these seminars and find something new. Whether it's like a financial seminar, whether it's like a coaching seminar, whether, I mean, like football, whatever field that you dive into, if you continue to go to those type of seminars, yes, you're going to learn educational things in that field, but majority of the information that they give you is going to be something that you've already heard, that you already heard, but you're not applying. Application is the difference. And then inside of CAG is like, all right, we hear you, but what are you doing with it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we hear you want to do X, Y, and Z, but how are you accomplishing these tasks? And I love the accountability factor. And Terrell is one of my accountability partners that I meet with on Wednesdays, and we just break bread on things that I want to accomplish or things that I have accomplished and what's next after that and so on and so forth. And I guess I'm the guy that reminds everybody to take a break because everybody else is full throttle, go, 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 go. So yeah, CAG has been a played an intricate role in my my development as a man, black man in America. Bay Area to be exact. I love the brotherhood. I love the unity. I love the community aspect of it. It's definitely not a cult for people that don't know. He said, oh yeah, at our family barbecues, like, all right, we're not a cult, we are a family, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's
for real.
not no religious stuff that we're talking about. However, people are of different religious backgrounds and beliefs and things of that nature, and we respect everybody. And you know, however you decide to pray or who you pray to, we still respect you and your mindset. It's just like a bunch of men holding each other accountable to push themselves to the next level. So
Yeah.
yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about it too, is that, like you just said, there are folks from different backgrounds, but we all have like that common ground, or we all have like a common theme where we all kind of want to, you talked about it earlier, it's like elevate, get to that next level in your life where you're just being productive. And I don't think it's so much just with men having to, be like number one in their field or whatever it is that they're working on, but just being that the best man, working on yourself to be the best man that you could possibly be, whether, I mean, even if you're single or if you got a family, becoming the best father, because you do have different brothers in there, man, who just have various backgrounds and they might have struggles. Some might not have as many struggles as the other one, but we have that place, that community where people could just talk.
The this last Sunday's call about the imposter syndrome. So they were like, I think Ron Jeezy asked the question at the end of it. He was like, well, what value do you get out of the CAG? You know what I mean? Like, what's something big? And I was like, the fact that people can come here and be going through something, but then don't want to speak on it, but then hear somebody else speak on it, and allows them to know, like, dang, okay, I'm not the only one going through this type of thing. You know what I mean? It's real life problems out here for everybody, and this is one of my brothers. So now I feel not necessarily obligated, but I feel more comfortable to share whatever I'm going through. Not necessarily for me, but everybody as a whole. Because I've been there too, where it's just like, all right, I'm hesitant to say certain things that I'm dealing with, and then you'll reach out to certain kings that are you feel like can help you in whatever wheelhouse that you have and some type of issues with. And I think, not even I think, I know that that is extremely powerful, because not everybody's perfect for sure, but we definitely gonna figure out how to way to help you be the best version of yourself. That's what we will.
So, man, you got recognized as being the lion of the quarter. Man, what were some of the things that you actually did? And I mean, when you just like reflect on it, what are some of the
Man,
things that you've done that actually stood out to you?
being a support,
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest one for me. Because I said it on the call, like I used to want to be the one in, you know, the limelight, the main guy. Like I always, I gotta be front and center. It has to
Yeah.
be everything center focused on me. But then once I took a step back and learned that you can still be successful and enjoy life and accomplish things as you support other people in the process. Like
Yeah.
that is, I personally find so much more like favor in that enjoyment and helping other people excel, and not knowing what the next opportunity will bring, but still being open to it. And continued education is a forever thing for me, no matter if it's in actual school or, you know, whether it's the podcasting space or whatever it is that you decide that you want to do. I feel like, somebody, who did I say, who said that? Lowe. When I interviewed Lowe, he said that as soon as you stop learning, that's when you die.
Yeah.
That's a bar. So, even the way I navigated this, and I was just sharing, I didn't share my wins crazy like that with the group, but like when I graduated, I was doing this, and it were some things that I shared with Terrell internally that he shared with the committee, and I'm
Yeah.
a part of the committee.
Right.
I didn't know that he was sharing these things with the committee. And so, like, when you get line of the week or, you know, so on and so forth, and it's like, bro, people just been grinding and doing things that you normally don't do. And that's what we like to recognize on the line committee is people stepping outside of their comfort zone. And I'm always looking for ways to stretch myself and grow. And it's an honor to be recognized from the entire organization as someone that's actually doing that as well.
Yeah.
Not to say that nobody else is doing that. We're all doing it.
Yeah.
It's just everybody's doing it at different frequencies. And when you like consistently like hitting strides on different type of strides, you're like, hold up, hold up. Did you just, and then you just, and then you
Yeah.
just, hold up. Well, we gotta give you your flowers, Ken. You
Right.
know what I mean? So even like accepting it, like it got emotional because I didn't know. I
Yeah.
knew I was one of the runner ups, but I didn't
Yeah.
know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How it was gonna play out. It's definitely a place where you want to be. I'm gonna
Yeah.
just say that. If this is a man watching this right now, you thinking about you need a brotherhood or you need just somebody to talk to, this is definitely a place for that to be. And we hold each other accountable to the highest standard possible. And our accountability partners are on our backs, not in a egregious way, but in a way where you feel loved and cared for. You know what I mean?
When you talked about or when you just mentioned like stepping back because it had to be like all about you, and then you just kind of stepped back and took more of that supportive role. Before you step back, do you feel like you were putting like a lot of pressure on yourself, or you felt like I'm trying to think of like the right word because I just know like you could grind so hard and you'd be pushing and you push. And it's like, man, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for other people?
Right. I would say for me, the reason why I wanted to be at the time, like in the spotlight, a lot of people believe in that whole self-made mentality.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe in that. Like, nobody is really self-made. Yes, you might be the product, you might be the brand, or you know, things that you might do. You go in these rooms and you make these connections, but the connections help propel you to the next level. So
That's
yeah,
true.
you got yeah, you got around the right people and
Yeah.
you are the face of the company, so on and so forth. But it's other people that believed in you get to where you are today.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why I was like, all right, I used to always want 100% sole ownership of everything. And I sat and I looked at it, I was like, man, these multi-million dollar companies, billion dollar companies, trillion dollar companies all are in partnership with somebody.
Yeah.
You don't got to do it by yourself.
Right.
not have to do anything by yourself. There's people out there willing to help support you as you support them, but you got to come from a genuine place because people can definitely tell not being authentic with it. And you look into always like take, you know what I mean? It's okay. I heard this the other day. I appreciate the fact that people want to take from me, but take from me and give in a way to where you're going to bless somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not here to just be taken advantage of and then like not it not be replenished somewhere else at least.
Right. Yeah.
So, or in other people as you take from me too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you just think about like some of these, you know, so-called like solopreneurs. You know, they might be the ones that came up with the idea and start running with it, but then you kind of get to a place where man, you might not be the most organized person. So now you need some kind of virtual assistant or somebody who can actually help you with your organization. Or maybe it's the marketing part. Or you just think about Eric Thomas. You talked about Breathe University. Who is he rocking with?
He got
you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so they fill in the gaps.
Yeah, even solopreneurs, however that even became some type of thing or whatever the case may be. When you go and you use these social sites, you're using somebody else's platform. You're using somebody else's resources to help propel who you are. So we all using somebody in a sense to better ourselves. And
we
and I think that we come from that mindset because it's like, no, I created this account and I'm doing this and it's my name and my brand.
Yeah.
But if somebody created that company, it's you to go. Your butt out there. So, hey, you know.
Yeah.
I like to dive deep and sit back and analyze things. I've been doing that a lot lately and just moving slow. Tread softly. I don't need to go fast anymore. Like
he said, tread softly.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the key to my line of the quarter success is not rushing. Like, I used to be super decisive. Like, I'll make an instant decision like, ooh, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing that. Now I sit back and I weigh it out, the options, the pros and the cons before I pull the trigger on anything. Because the kids that I coach, I also tell them, I'm like, man, you control your narrative, but also remember every action has a reaction and you never know who's watching.
Yeah. Yep. And speaking of coaching, like, what made you get into like football? And, you know, just becoming a football coach and like, what is one of the things, I guess, if you had like a mission statement for coaching football, like, well, what would some of the words be or phrases that you would actually put it?
So what got me into coaching is one thing, made it to the pro level, you know, did what I was able to do there, which was nice. And the practice squad, unfortunate situation happened to where I dislocated my right shoulder for the third time. And they told me that, you know, if I take another blow to it, it could potentially be paralyzed, you know, for my rest of my life. And I didn't want that. So dropped the cleats, picked up a whistle. So that's how that, that's how that happened. And that came about. And, the biggest thing for me in the coaching space that resonates well with me was because I always knew that there were coaches out there that were not so nice.
Yeah.
And I don't want to come in. I'm not a pushover coach at all. Like, I'm not that guy. But I always will give it to my kids direct. And there's not enough coaches out there that'll give them straight honesty about like, hey, this is why I pulled you, or areas that you need to work on. I don't say weaknesses, I say areas of improvement, and then I'll highlight their strengths as well. And during games or practices, I've always been the like rah-rah coach of, you know, hyping my guys up and getting going. I've never been the one to tear somebody down, but I've been tore down. So I've experienced these things where certain grown men are talking to these young adults. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's traumatizing. And you sit back and you're like, bro, who are you? You know what I mean? You don't even play no more. I still have a chance to make. I got a shot to do X, Y, and Z. So I feel like the more coaches are out there with that type of mindset, the better off the youth will be for sure. Like, because we want to encourage and inspire our youth to be responsible young men, leaders, people that hold themselves accountable, team players, supportive, and understanding, like, even when you transition from sports to the real world, like, you know, the sports is all entertainment. Like, let's just say what it is, and they have no salary cap. They can make as much money in the world. But once you are done playing whatever sports that you're playing, you got to go and either work with some people or work for somebody. And I say work with some people because even if you want to go in business with yourself, you got to go work with people in order to make that flourish, right? Or you go and you work for somebody, but you still got to be a team player.
Yeah, absolutely.
You still got to learn how to communicate. So that would be my words as a coach is to be a supportive teammate, know how to lead, and in your leadership, serve. So that is the biggest thing for me. And they're like, "Serve? What do you mean serve? I'm a senior, and I see this junior or sophomore or freshman in need of some type of extra coaching, additional coaching, and there's no other coach around, and he's making this one move or mistake. I'm gonna go and spend some time with him. Or even if I'm a sophomore and I see a freshman or I see a junior doing whatever, if I'm up there and I'm learning these things or I know these things, giving back to those that are trying to, or not trying, making an attempt to get to where I am, I feel like I have to do the due diligence to go down there and pick them up. So
That's right.
I explain the serving to them. Like, oh, okay, I get it, coach. I understand.
No, out of all the college or pro football coaches out there, who do you think you're most aligned with as far as like coaching style?
My high school football coach, Fred Sims, man, I hated him and I loved him at the same time. I would just go ahead and say I hated the man with all my heart, and then I loved him with all my heart too, because he was probably like the only male role model out there that kept things real, but I didn't understand at the time, you know, his philosophy and the way that he was coaching back then. But as I matured into an adult, we got a great relationship now. I was just like, dog, why are you riding my back like this, bro? Get off of me. You know what I'm saying? Why are you not giving me the playing time that I want? And so on. So because they see potential in you and they want you to grow, I didn't grasp that as a young man. So a lot of his coaching skills and traditions that he shared with me and a few of my other friends, and they feel their way because they feel their way or whatever. I had to stop and, you know, smell the coffee beans and just wake up and be real. I'm not gonna say flowers because it wasn't always beautiful. Sometimes coffee beans are too strong and sometimes they just right, you know what I mean? So now I would say Fred Sims would have to be him. So yeah,
Man.
I've been around some phenomenal coaches, man. They ain't even gonna hold you, but when you get to like pro level, it's not, they're a little bit more hands off. That is more of a business than, yeah. And then college was more politics, and high school is definitely relationship based. So that's crazy, like talking to you about this and thinking about it, how I my personal experiences would. How it was, so
And so do you think like that like we just talked about where as far as high school is more hands-on, college is politics, pros is more business, more hands-off. Do you think if you have the right high school coach that they're actually preparing you for like how to deal with each phase? I mean, if you're in a place where you're actually receiving, where you're coachable and teachable.
right. I definitely believe that those coaches that care about those players in high school level are preparing the ones that are going to go to the next level or that care about going to the next level. That is their due diligence to make sure that they let them know so that they don't get lost in the political aspect of things. Because you got 5-star recruits, 3-star recruits, and so on and so forth from all over the place. And then people like, how are they getting ranked? Or da, da, da. Don't worry about that, man. Because what you can't beat is, especially if you have talent, you know what I mean? But can't outwork hard work and effort. You know what I mean? If you're a coachable kid, young man, whatever you want to call it, and then you are always punctual, all the other coaches are going to see it and they're going to be like, yo, we got to give him a shot. Like, he's here before everybody. He's here after everybody. He doesn't talk back to nobody. He's extremely coachable. And then the way that he picks things up so quickly is a testament to how he was coached in high school.
Right.
And it's transitioned over to the college level. And then at the college level, he'll shine because they're giving him opportunity.
Yeah.
Versus the guys that are just all out talented all-stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it, hard work beats talent any day. You know, you could be the most talented person ever, but you don't work hard for what you want. Somebody that's working hard, putting in that, those hours, definitely going to catch you, man. It's like the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
So. That analogy to this day, I swear, like, you don't get it when you're 12 or 15. You're like, man, that's a turtle and that's a rabbit. Like, ain't no.
Yeah.
But then as you get older, you're like, okay, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, man, what are some of the things you're working on with TWE?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Woo, you about to get hot. So right now I'm in the music licensing space, and that's definitely been wonderful. And I just started working on my next third studio album. Woo, woo. I'm excited. I'm cooking with some hot stuff right here. It's been a minute to get back into the creative aspect of it, but I got my back and it's a wrap. Just go ahead and tell you right now, it's a wrap. Like, I got my juice back and it's over. I love music. I'm never going to stop doing music. And also doing like some acting, and gonna look to get some speaking engagements in there as well for, you know, the youth. I'm look to, I don't want to say attack, but definitely address. So my boy DJ Spires, he's doing some tours. He's from BU as well. That's where I met him. And he's going back and speaking to a lot of kids in middle school and elementary. So I'm like, oh, okay, that's in my wheelhouse too, because I'm already talking to high school kids.
Right.
So I like to find ways to blend that in and keep that all underneath TWE. The biggest thing for me right now is the music for brands. So that's in the music sync licensing space. And if, are you familiar with that?
Nope.
All right. So I'll dive deeper into this real quick. So when you hear like songs in movies, TV shows, at the bar, things of that nature, they all have to get placed. These are all placed songs, and some of them are definitely driven to whatever the scene is, or the mood, the feel, the vibe. And every movie, every TV show, every commercial has a music supervisor with a budget. And within that budget, they can pay out from maybe a couple $100 to high six figures.
Yeah.
Like for one track. This is, and sometimes it's only 30 seconds or whatever the case may be. So there's a lot of people out here. And that's another reason why I stopped back from being like, I don't have to be the main guy doing big music. I'll go and make music for these companies. Why not?
Yeah.
There's a need for it, and it's always going to be a need for it, even though AI has jumped into the space of creating new artists, but it's not raw artistry.
Right.
It's definitely different when you can actually talk to someone and broker deals, and then negotiate the contracts for everybody, and you got to deal with these split sheets if there's multiple people on there. That's why I do songwriting, singer-songwriting, production, and I do the recording and mastering here as well.
Yeah.
So I don't have to really go anywhere.
That's what I'm talking
about. But, but if I do have someone produce it, I have to give them a percentage of the song. And if I do have other artists that are a part of it and we get a landing on a sync placement, then I'll have to give them a portion. We'll do the split sheets, and it'll be another artist that's, wrote on the track, or another producer who has produced on it. And typically, you don't really have to do it for sound engineers because you'll pay them a fee to actually mix and master the song after, like, it's all done. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is the song, the route that we want to go.
Yeah.
Do all the pre-mix and stuff like that here, and then you send it to the big house. So that way you get the bang
That's
for your
right. buck. That's right. Wait.
Yeah. So, and they have different categories. They have different ways for people to, this is, I'm just going to get a game for anybody that's listening to this and they want to dive deeper into it. You can reach out to music supervisors directly, and there's a way to do that. There are people that are on LinkedIn. You can find them on IMDb and look for specific genre niches that they're looking for, actual artists, whether you're a hip hop artist, Latin nice. Artist. Whatever genre you're in. And then they have music libraries where you just send your catalog out and they'll just put you onto the library if it's approved. And then you're just in rotation. That's a steady, that's like residual income coming
there
to
you. There you go, right there.
Doing anything. Granted, they do take a percentage, a higher percentage. That they take the highest percentage out of everyone. And then you have a music agent. So they'll do the work for you. They'll be like, hey, such and such needs this, and we'll take this percentage out of it. They take maybe like 20-30% or something like that for doing the legwork. And then whereas music libraries, they 50-50. And
okay.
If you work directly with the music supervisor, you get all the money. So
yeah,
it's different ways for people to be able to do it. And hopefully I just gave some people some game and they can, you know, dive deeper into that if they want to dive into that space. Cause you don't have to be, you can become a multimillionaire without being a popular artist. I'm gonna just go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you do not have to be a Kendrick Lamar, a J. Cole, Eminem, Mariah Carey, Beyonce, things of that nature to live like them.
Right.
That right there is the, you can still live like them without doing the work that they have to do.
Yeah. It's amazing. Opportunity is out there. Opportunity is out there.
It's endless, man. And
it
I love every aspect of it because that's another place where I was able to gain my creativity writing for other people's brands. So I got this, what is this? Genius consciousness. This right here is like a little brain food supplement. If they were to hit me up, I wouldn't mind writing about the smarts of the brain, like, and what this does for me. Like,
right.
Of course, it's amazing. But everything around you, JBL, Groove, Apple, like, they're all looking for some type of music for projects that they have. Commercials continue to roll out. Movies and TV shows are going to continue to be rolling out. And there's also radio ad placements that you can get.
Oh,
yes.
Man.
And I didn't know this at first when I got into the music space.
Yeah. That's wild. So, man, before we wrap up, bro, anybody who wants to, or anybody who just, they might have those, something that's just that they're passionate about, something that they want to pursue. Maybe it's an idea. Maybe it's something that they might be talented at, but they don't know how to fine tune that skill, just kind of work on it to enhance it. What kind of words can you just share with those folks?
Never give up. At the end of the day, and then never give up and continue to put out your work.
Yeah.
I say this because you never know who you're helping, even if you're putting out you might feel like it's your wackest piece of work, but then somebody else out there that's like, man, that touched my life, that changed who I am as a person, it resonates with me. And then they're at the beginning of your journey of finding yourself in this new space that you are crafting. And as you continue to grow, your audience grows with you. So it's like you have created a whole new support system, and they're going off and telling their friends about how dope you are at whatever your craft is, because it resonates so well with them. And it's a homing feeling. We live in a world full of people, and everybody, it's either two things. You're either a consumer or a producer. There's no in between. There's no in between that. And as you are learning how to become a producer, you just got to put out as much content as possible. or you just have to be around as many people as you can. Never second guess yourself. A lot of us are going to do it. We all do it. I say never second guess yourself as far as like putting it out there to the public. Just put it out there. And whatever response you get, you always going to get something back, whether it's good or it's bad or if it's indifferent. The beautiful thing about it is you created that. That is
right.
Your name on it. And once you put it out there, just continue to grow off of that. Go back, reflect. We talked about this earlier, self-assessment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Listen to what you're creating. And in that space, find different ways and get different coaches to help you elevate.
Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait. Boy, y'all heard it first from Brother Lee West, King's Accountability Group, line of the quarter. Yes, sir. Man, thanks, Lee, for coming on, bro. I appreciate it, man.
Man, I greatly appreciate being on. And, the interview was amazing. Thank you for dealing with me and my hiccups early on. thank you for that, King. I greatly appreciate you.
I bet it's all good.
All right.
Hey, I want to thank Mr. Lee West for coming on Why Not You. What an honor. Hey, I appreciate him. And you can definitely hear his love for helping people, but you also hear the humility. And one thing I know is, man, we got real. Just about stepping out of the spotlight and into that support zone and how it's actually underrated, yet important. So one thing we definitely know that we never want to stop learning, because when you do, you hit the pause button on your progress. And we all need assistance to elevate. And not needing anyone to succeed is definitely a myth. It's okay to lean on others to make it big. We have to. So to all y'all hustlers out there, remember, tap into the community around you. And if you're chasing the dream, keep pushing out your work. Growth happens when you're brave enough to put it out there. So why not you? Until next week, hey, y'all stay blessed. And remember, we cannot become what we need if we remain where we are. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You. Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.